Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Last Sunday, COVID-19 was somewhere on the outer perimeter of my conscience. I don't know what it was like for you. I've also been working on this discipline of no news intake and not going on news sites to try to focus on more important things. So on Monday, I was making plans with Randall for Easter. We spent a considerable amount of time looking at our strategic plans as a church and all the stuff we were going to do and accomplish in the coming months. And so on Tuesday, we made those plans. And when it came to virus talk, the biggest discussion around here was increased cleaning regimen on our doors and handles and well-trafficked areas, and whether we were going to pass communion baskets or use boxes at the back. On Wednesday night, I was like, maybe we ought to start thinking about contingency plans. Thursday morning, we met as a staff for an emergency meeting, and we started paying attention to the website of the Chief Medical Officer of Alberta, which I've never been on the site before. But she said the risk was low, so we made some more changes, more plans, got a communication plan together, and got ready for our services on Sunday. And then by 4 o'clock on Thursday, that all changed again, and here we are, meeting online. One of the comments that we kept making to each other as a staff was, can you believe that this is actually happening? Like, this is real. And I suspect that you too have said something like that in the past 24 or 48 hours. Life has changed. I've been using words that until this week I have never used before. If you would have told me 10 days ago that I should practice social distancing or that you were now self-isolating, I would have looked at you a little funny. At the same time, my wife is on her way right now from South Africa. She is scheduled to arrive, and I've heard that she is on the plane. And I guess then she will be playing a lot of Nintendo for a couple weeks. For those of you who are wondering about our ladies' trip to the Arise trip in South Africa, they did have a great time, and I hope that we can pass on some of the news and stories of what happened on that trip. Also, my brother-in-law is in Uganda right now with his family visiting old friends there, where he used to be a principal, and now they're trying to figure out how they're going to get back to Canada and when they're going to do that, and their flights have already been canceled, so we're praying for them. Lots has changed, and I think if we're honest, we know that more change is on its way. But not everything is different. Some realities are exactly as they were 10 days ago. It's just that we're more aware of those realities now than we were just last week. Maybe the Apostle James can help explain what I mean. This comes from James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Kind of hits home this week, doesn't it? In the past couple weeks, I am sure that I spoke quite confidently about my sermon plans and what I was going to be preaching on. I would have told you that we were switching to our new live stream TV channel on March 22nd. I would have talked to you about how well my pension plan did in 2019. I made lots of plans for my summer vacation, and I spent dozens of hours strategically thinking about the future of our church. Little did I know that this Thursday, the stock market would experience its worst day in my adult life. That today I would be preaching to everyone via live stream on March 15th, and that tomorrow we're going back to the drawing board on strategic planning because all bets are off for the next few weeks. The truth is, though, I am no less in control today than I was 10 days ago. I had little control over my world and my plans then, and I hold little control over my world and my plans now. It's just that, unlike March 5th, I fully understand that. Thank you, COVID-19. We are all under the illusion that James is addressing here. We say, I've got this. My life is the total, sum total of my choices. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do this and this and this, and then this will happen, and then this will happen, and I'll do that, blah, blah, blah. I wanna be perceived as a competent and thoughtful and wise leader, just like all our civil servants and our elected officials, but we don't really know, do we? At least not in the way that people think that they know. At first, people were saying, you know, shutting down air travel is not gonna do anything. And then a couple days later is, well, maybe you should adjust your travel plans. And then it was, well, actually, you shouldn't fly outside Canada at all. To today, come home while you still can. I think that our leaders are doing the best job that they can, but they're just humans like you and I. And what is our life, really? We are like the morning fog, here for a few minutes in the morning, and then poof, the sun comes out and we're gone. We're not as insightful and powerful and strategic as we thought. What's the antidote to our pride, which is really, plainly speaking, what the issue is after all, isn't it? How do we combat our presumption as human beings? Well, I think it's here, just a little bit earlier in the book of James, verse 10. Wash your hands, you sinners. Oh, wait, that's verse 8. Sorry. I thought it's apropos, though, today. If there was more people here, we'd all be laughing terribly. Verse 10 reads, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will do this or we will do that. The antidote to our false sense of security and control is recognizing that God is actually in control, that God is sovereign, and that we have actually a very small place in a really big universe. Now, remember, being small and insignificant in comparison to God doesn't mean that we are worthless or that he thinks we're peons. Quite the contrary, those who humble themselves are lifted up by God. Remember what Jesus said to us about worrying. He reminds us that we can't do a whole lot because we're small, but he still cares about us a ton. This is what he said in Matthew chapter 6. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable than they? So, in the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, how will we remember our place? Our role as small people in the hands of a really big, yet really loving God. I want to suggest that we make some plans for strategic disengagement. Here's what I mean. the new cycle that is going on right now is only going to continue for the foreseeable future, right? And on that new cycle is going to be lots of experts, lots of plans on how we're going to fight this and how we're going to do this and how we're going to beat that. And that's important. But then it's going to keep going. And today we're going to do this and tomorrow this. And then here's the stimulus plan that we're going to use to do the economy. And here's how we're going to respond to the airline industry until the plans change and we're going to do something else. What if, as a church family, as a people, we were to reserve some time for ourselves and for our families, if we have those, to disengage daily from a very self-important human world to instead engage with the living Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? We have time now to disengage, don't we? For the time being, there is no hockey on TV. There is no taking your kids to hockey or soccer or taekwondo or anything, really. You can, I'm glad to say, still bike outside. You are maybe self-isolating anyways. You don't even need to drive to church. We're saving you that time. Why not use this space that is opening up in our lives, not to kind of channel ourselves into all that's going on 100% of the time, but instead build in some rhythm to daily humble ourselves under God's mighty hand so that He can lift us up. I want to encourage many of you to have some conversations about this reality with your kids. More than just talking about washing hands and the nature of viruses, but what it means to be a mortal person. And why we don't need to worry if we have Jesus in our lives, because He really has the end game taken care of. And how we live as people who are loved by God way more than He loves little birds. I encourage you, friends, in these days to strategically disengage from all the noise and chatter so that you can fully engage with the One who is in control. You with me on that? The 24 voices in this room are, so I'll assume that the hundreds of you that are gathered out there are doing the same. Speaking of us as a scattered church family, I also want to challenge us to think beyond just us at this time. Mike and I were reflecting this week on passages of the Bible that were speaking to us, and Mike was mentioning how God was speaking to him through Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And many of you have probably heard this passage before. Here's what the writer says. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Isn't that a phenomenal challenge to us in these remarkable times? There are two sides to it. The second part is about meeting together, remembering who we are, helping each other keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. In these days, we're going to need to get creative about that. It looks like, for the short term, that we're not going to be able to gather as a large group. So I want to encourage you to keep meeting with us, at least through this medium. And we're going to learn what it means to be the church gathered digitally. You will also probably need to consider alternative means to gather together, perhaps in small groups. Again, I think we're going to need to exercise discernment depending on how quickly and easily this virus travels. It may mean using social media platforms, video conference. Many of you know these technologies and these platforms better than I do, but let's look at creative ways to meet together and to connect with people. If nothing else, maybe we will all need to become bubble boys and bubble girls. I don't know. Let's not forget that during these times when isolation is going to be a trend, that we need one another. We need to gather. We need to pay attention to each other. And so I want to encourage you as you think about the week or weeks ahead, why not use some of the time that you have to check in with the people around you, both people within this church family, but also friends and family who may not count this their church home. Send a text. Use Facebook, Instagram. There's this thing where you can make a phone call and actually talk to someone via voice. Talk across the fence. I know I was listening to another church yesterday. They were encouraging their people to write cards. So there's another technology that has ink and you write on a piece of paper, if you recall how to use that. We could write cards to our neighbors around us. We don't even need to talk to them. We drop it off at their door as a way of expressing our love and our care and concern. Let's find out how people are doing, especially those who may be alone. And if you need to, exchange some contact information. Let people know who you are and that you're available to help if the need and opportunity arises. And whenever possible, let's pray for one another. Prayer for healing, prayer for strength, prayer for wisdom are privileges that we have as Jesus people. And in these days, like no other, let's use those privileges to pray for one another. I also want to say to some of you who may be listening, if you are isolated, if you have a need, if you're not sure how you're going to manage some of the things that are coming your way in the next few days or weeks, please let us as a church know. You can email cac@cochranealliance.com. Our phone lines are empty. The website will give you lots of ways that you can connect. But please don't feel that you are alone. We would love to hear of what your need is and how we can serve you and do the best we can to respond to that. Let's not give up meeting together. The second part of that, or the first part of that Hebrews passage has to do with spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. You know the heart of Christianity, some of Jesus' most famous teachings, and of course, his most powerful example. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Greater love has no one than this, that someone should lay down their life for their friends. Are we going to live this out, or do we just talk about this stuff? How will we love our neighbors in the name of Jesus in the coming weeks and months? I believe that there is a ton of creativity and skill and heart in this church family. Let's put that to good use in these times. Again, I am tempted as a pastor to tell us to get out there and do stuff. The problem is that getting out there and doing stuff without considering the consequences of getting out there and doing stuff may be counterproductive. So we are going to need to be prudent. In our desire to serve and do good, we can't give others the blessing of coronavirus. So that will mean that we will need to cooperate with our civic leaders, behave carefully so that we don't interact with one another in a way that would do harm. At the same time, I don't want to look back at the spring of 2020 as a season that I set new records in my Netflix watching, that is my greatest accomplishment, making it through 3 or 4 seasons of a new show. Let's begin, Cochrane Alliance, to pray and think imaginatively. We can begin by paying attention to the needs of our friends and neighbors and ask the Holy Spirit to inspire some creative response from us. I've posted on Facebook, as well as our YouTube live stream, an article by Andy Crouch. I'd encourage some of you who like reading to have a look. I don't necessarily agree with everything that Andy says, and it comes from the U.S., so not everything applies. But I think it's good in getting us to think about how we might need to live differently during these times. If you see opportunities around you, please let us know as a church. If you're thinking creatively about some ways that people are reaching out or have need, if we collaborate together, this could lead to something really interesting. We are here as a staff putting together a group of leaders from our church who are going to look at how we might respond in prudent and strategic ways. And as this develops, as we collaborate together and opportunities and strategies emerge, we will do our best to keep you informed of ways that you can be involved. The bottom line is, let's be the church. We talk, we preach, we pray lots about opportunities to live out what we believe. Well, I think that one of those times has arrived. How Jesus might call us to live that out locally and around the world will be made clear to us in time, but let's live into it with expectation of what he might do and belief that he can use us even in times that are very uncertain. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, I want to acknowledge you as the sovereign God, the Lord who is in control. And we acknowledge our place as very small people in comparison to you. And if nothing else, I pray that you would use uncertain times in our world to remind us of our place. Not as small people who you don't care about and that you just want to punish and push aside, but small people who you deeply care about, who you sent your son to die for, that you long to know in deeper ways. And I pray that you would use these times to do that work in our lives. Father, I pray that you would help us understand how we gather and meet together and grow together as a church in these times, even if that's only a short window or a longer one. Give us your wisdom on how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds. I pray, like many times in history when Christians have risen to the occasion, that they have been aware of people around them, that they haven't just been caught up in their own lives, that they have lived out the character and the heart of Jesus. I pray that at our time, it's just our turn in 2020, that we would live in that tradition. Call us away from all the stuff that would distract, all the ways that really is just about human grasping and deciding. Give us help us to be able to tune our ears and our eyes and our thoughts towards you so that we can hear your voice and know what's truly lasting and important. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you care about us more than the birds. We ask that you would do that, that you would keep your promise to us in these days. We ask this in Jesus' name.